Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week I'll speak to a new guest with an inspiring job. We talk to photographers, writers, clinical scientists, marketers, you name it. We hear about their personal paths to doing what they do, the skills that are required, and the tools they use for the job. I'm Laura Leoncini, and today my guest is Yannick Haar, political consultant based in Berlin. Having recently joined the job market, Yannick will explain his path from his early academic choices, his initial plan to become a teacher, and how he switched to political consulting and specifically renewable energy sources. Yannick Haar, when I first saw your LinkedIn profile, I was intrigued about your very specific title, political consultant for renewable energy sources. And I said, I want to interview this guy. And thank you for accepting. So my first question to you is, did you want to become a political consultant from the beginning?
No, really not, really. When I started studying, I wanted to become a teacher. When I studied in Germany originally, in Freiburg, I studied history and English literature and linguistics. And it was in Germany, it's a very straightforward program to study to become a teacher. And so for the longest time of my studies, I never thought about going into politics or into consulting. And that just was something that I figured out, or I turned to, let's say, three-thirds through my studies. And even then, it was not something where I decided I want to do political consulting, but I just wanted to study politics and international relations, and just kind of wanted to see where it would go from there.
What was the trigger to get into politics and, you know, political science?
I think most of it was really actually working as a teacher for some time. So I applied for a German school abroad in Rio de Janeiro and worked there for about half a year. And when I worked there, I started noticing that I really liked the job, but at the same time, I started being nervous about just knowing this is going to be my job for the next, 40 years or so.
Okay. And well, I'm curious to know, like, what in particular was giving you these kind of red flags?
Well, you would assume you know that before, but when you actually start working and teach history, you notice that there's not going to be so much change in the next, let's say, 5, 10 or 20 years about what you have to tell the students, And at the same time, I noticed that I was always interested in politics. I was always interested in international politics. But when I made the decision to actually study, I always felt like, okay, our nowadays politics or international system, international politics itself, is very much set in place. There's not much movement, not much development, not much to change. At least that was my perception when I started studying in 2012. And then just throughout the next years, as we were all, I guess, following international politics, we noticed that there's actually a lot changing. In 2014, I think, was very concerning for me, or was what very much impacted that was the annexation of Crimea, and noticing how the discourse about the relations to Russia changed, but also the topics on China, on Chinese industries, on Chinese geopolitics. You could notice over the years how the discourse changed. And at some point I noticed in 2016, 17, right around the time when I was working in Rio, that there's actually much going on in international politics, and I was wondering if it's not too late to kind of switch lanes and go into that path. Then it was actually really a misunderstanding with another student who told me about his plans of studying international relations after his bachelor's in history, and I understood international relations, and I just later figured out, after I already started the master's, that he actually meant history of international relations.
And so, okay.
I was telling him, I met him and told him, thank you so much for giving me that advice back then. I also started studying international relations. And he said, what do you mean? I study history of international relations. And that was kind of a funny way of how my path turned out to be, with a misunderstanding.
So you finished your, let's say, graduate degree
to in order to teach. And then you did those 6 months of teaching in Rio. And then you decided to go back to school. And it's the Graduate Institute in Geneva.
It was more like the 6 or 7 months I was working in Rio. It was something that I could do. I could apply there. And later on, it would be accounted as an internship, which was obligatory, which was mandatory for my studies. So I could go there and work as a local teacher. And I just had to do that for 7 months to come back, and then it would be counted as a mandatory internship for the studies. But yeah, in general, after that, I've actually finished studying to become a teacher, mm-hmm. just to always have the option to maybe turn back at some point to that field. And then it was also the advice of a friend who actually suggested me, hey, you want to study international relations? How about you study at the Graduate Institute? And then, yeah, I tried it and I applied. And so I actually I finished my Staatsexamen in Germany, which is, mm-hmm. in Germany, it's equivalent to a bachelor's and a master's degree, but for all the jobs that you do in extension for the government. But after that, I did another degree then. And then I did the international relations and political science degree at the Graduate Institute in Geneva.
Okay. And that's a 1 year study?
That was a two year program, actually. Okay. Yeah. And most of it was in Geneva, and then, well, let's say for the first half was in Geneva, and then for the third semester we were able to make a decision if we do a semester abroad. Mm-hmm. And this is how I actually ended up in Berlin then, after all, because I did the exchange semester with the Hertie School of Governance here in Berlin. And for the fourth semester, as I didn't have any courses left, just decided to stay in Berlin and see where it's going from here.
Wow, so that's quite a bit of studying and quite a bit of deciding, you know, what to do in life. And compared to the average people that I interview, you're closer to my listeners than others because you just started your career. Can you tell me a bit in detail what did you do after you finished your studies at the graduate, and how did you end up getting your first job?
Well, let's say ending up at the job kind of started before finishing my master's degree. So when I went to Geneva for the third semester, to Berlin for the third semester, I noticed after some time that I actually really liked the city and I liked the job opportunities that were here. And the Hertie School had a really good network as well here for getting started. And so they had job fairs here and so on and so forth. They had a platform where companies in the political sector in Berlin were able to do job postings. And so as work, it was a very, very easy way of entering a certain industry through a working student job.
Okay.
And a lot of people did that here in Berlin, much, much more than my colleagues in Geneva. It was a very helpful way of entering somewhere with a low threshold. So there are not a lot of expectations. You can normally, no working student job requires you to have 1 or 2 years of job experience, but it's a way of actually gaining that job experience before you start into a certain job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was for me the chicken and the egg thing. Was, you know, even like 20 years, 25 years when I started looking for jobs, it's always they would look for someone who had experience, but also someone they could forge. So not too much, but then not too little. And then all the academic degrees as well. So you got to be kind of like a superman or superhero.
Yeah.
And to start a job.
And I feel like that's one of the biggest problems also for political consultancy or for a lot of jobs that actually are in the political sector as well. So how do you get that job experience when everybody you want to apply to ask for job experience? So for me, always working as a working student was the only solution I actually saw to get some of the experience and then be able to apply somewhere. And so for me, when I finished the third semester, I had to think about if I actually want to go back to Geneva or just stay here for the fourth semester, write my master thesis here in Berlin, and maybe start working on the site so I already have a foot in the door. And so I checked on the platform of Hertie School here in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And there was a job offer actually just in, I think that was back in February or March 2021. So there was a job offer where the consultancy looked for a working student in political consulting for a project by the German government and for another project. So supporting two projects, one project for the German government and the other one for the EU Commission. And I had absolutely no idea actually about energy policy. So my focus was on international investment law and on actually more on theory concepts like regime complexes, but not really hands-on on energy. And I also didn't take an energy course before in my master's. But what helped me was, of course, that there was some German required for the German government project and regulatory analysis, which was something I also focused on, especially here in Berlin. And so when I actually applied for the position, I asked them, it's already very late, it's past the deadline, but can I still send in my application papers? And they said, yeah, of course, we will consider it. And let's say 2 weeks later, I got an invitation to get to know them, to come to the office, and eventually got the job.
Okay, yeah, congratulations. So that was, who was the one who hired you? I mean, it was a German institute?
It was a small consultancy called Eclarion.
Okay.
And it was actually a consultancy that did not only political consultancy, but also business consultancy, business promotion. So one of the three departments was actually focused on policy. And when they hired me, it was pretty much, joining and then not having much of an onboarding time because the projects were imminent or the deadlines were coming soon. And so it was a small consultancy where, a few senior project managers were working, but in my team in the political consultancy department, it was basically only four senior project managers. And the company was structured in a way where you had the project managers sitting in Berlin, and then you had 12 to 16 analysts sitting in the European countries. Because one of the features, one of the benefits of the consultancy was that they were covering every European or every language of the EU. So for studies and for reports of for the EU Commission on the barriers for renewable energies or for the deployment of renewable energies, they had the expertise of actually being able to cover every EU country and do national reports on that. And as they needed someone for Germany in that situation, I was probably the one that kind of, I guess, fit best for the job description, even though I wasn't into energy policy before. But of course, after a very short time, you can get to know every field and can work yourself into the topics.
Right. These are things that you can you can learn on the field and or by doing the job, right?
Right. I mean, of course, in the beginning, it was quite a lot, and it was definitely more than the, let's say, I think 15 hours a week that I agreed to. But I think that's, to some degree, that's normal if it's limited, time-wise, if it's just for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And for me, the advantage was that I didn't have any courses left for studies, so I only had my master thesis to write. And that was basically some time where I was able to read into former documents, into former reports that the company did. And at the same time, I was not alone. So there were the project managers and also the team of analysts from different countries where I could read into their reports and then be able to write my first report after 1 or 2 weeks. Or I think I had to submit my first report after 2 months.
Yeah.
And then the project manager who was doing the quality management was reading through it and gave me a lot of, let's say, comments on the document on what to improve and on where to be more specific about the specific paragraph, about the specific law that I was referring to, and or for at another point more specific about how I think this mechanism here and this paragraph is compatible or not. So they were, of course, there was a lot of the first report. There was a document full of comments of where I had to work on for another month at least to get more detailed. But I think that was actually really the best training for me, and I was very thankful also to the project managers who, even though they had the deadline from the client were very patient with me and gave me the time, needed to get into the topic.
Now that you've been, you know, a year in the job, well, at least in your position, because you told me you just changed job, but how do you define then political consultant?
Yeah, I don't think there's one definition for that. I think pretty much everyone can call themselves a political consultant probably, and there's no one complaining really. So I think what at least what I did, and that is a, you know, already like a very niche thing to do, is that you basically consult mostly institutions or public institutions or governance bodies on the current state of a certain, let's say, sector or on a certain topic, not even on a sector, but just on a certain question that they ask for the report. And then you start your research and you start your analysis, and you have a few months time to conduct interviews, to do desk research, to be in touch with the representatives of different industries.
When it gets political, when you say political, you know, I immediately think of the government, you know, the people that are governing a country or the EU, for example. Is there always a link to a political topic? Like now you're getting into energy. Is there always a link to that?
In a certain way, yeah, of course. Sometimes it's through just our government body being the client, and so they want to be advised on the current policies. And other times it's maybe a private client, or it's a company that wants to be advised on the regulatory features of a certain market.
I see.
I think what kind of ties it together is really the focus on regulatory aspects of markets or of certain topics. So you see how that is compatible or with other regulatory features. And also you give best practice advices, of course, for governance bodies. So when they ask a question, they normally want to know what's the current state of a certain industry, let's say in my case renewable energies, and the question was normally the basic question was always, what is slowing down the deployment of renewable energies when it comes to, let's say, onshore wind power? And so then the work is political in the sense that you look at how the current regulatory framework is actually slowing down the deployment of onshore wind power, and then you talk to representatives of the industry, and you do some desk research yourself. You get yourself worked up into the topic, and then you do a so-called barrier analysis. In my case, so you check on non-financial barriers like issues with site selection when it comes to project developers wanting to assess if they can put a wind power park somewhere. It is something where there are a lot of barriers actually throughout the whole authorization process. And so you analyze these barriers. Some of them are really regulatory barriers. And then you offer some advice, maybe looking to another country in Europe with a similar system on how to solve that problem and how to accelerate the deployment of renewable energies when it comes to, let's say, site selection, or when it comes to the permitting processes for wind power. And so you always have that feature of analyzing a barrier in my specific case, and then giving a best practice how it was solved maybe in another country in Europe.
Is there a lot of interaction with people in your job? Like, from what I can hear, is there's a lot of research involved, a lot of writing. Is there interaction with, you know, companies or representatives of governments, or, you know, to get, do you do like interviews, for example, for your researches?
Yeah, kind of. It of course really depends on what role you have in a project. So, as a working student, I had way more. I was more in touch with representatives of a certain industry. Mostly, it was representatives of associations, as in most countries, they are really the political representatives of a whole sector. Many companies don't really have an own government affairs team, really. And so they join certain associations. and these associations are the political representation of a whole group of companies in a certain sector. And so in these cases or in these for these projects, you talk a lot to representatives from associations, but also I also talk to people from certain ministries or from, let's say, not so much from companies actually, although that also happens. It always depends a bit on the project. And as a project manager later, you actually are not so much in touch anymore with, let's say, with these representatives or with the people that where you get the information, where a lot from of the information from. But then it's way more working with project partners together, because basically almost every consultancy is never working alone on a project, but it's in a consortium with other consultancies with different
collaboration. Yeah,
yeah, with different focuses. Yeah,
I'm thinking from what you can tell, you know, from your, you know, short experience but intense. What are the skills that you need to have? Like, what is it that you really need to like in order to fulfill your job?
I think one of the most important things, or what helped me the most, was really that I was always really interested into learning something new. So for me, I think it is very important to not panic if there's something that you haven't learned yet, and you have so and so much time to read yourself or into the topic. You know, and I think I've had colleagues or other working students that were struggling way more with that, and I feel like that is something you just have to try it out. If you don't give it a chance, and if you say, okay, I can't go into that field, into that sector, because I don't know enough about it, I think that's then you never started working, then you never tried. You know, so I feel like for me it was very much a thing of, I want to try this out. I want to try how working into the energy sector works and feels. So the being able to, or being open to learn something new, and then being able to really to learn a lot in a short time, or to study a certain topic, I think that's one of the things that helps probably the most. And then it's something where I feel like a lot of that is taught really in, for at least for me, in my master's degrees or my two master's degrees, where I had to just understand how to systematically learn a topic and how to structure knowledge for myself. Yeah, and then to be based on that, to start thinking about a topic and creating something on it, if you know what I mean.
Would you like to specialize in energy now that you got into it?
So for now, I think for the next years, I just signed a new contract.
Okay, in energy.
In energy as well. And so now for the next years, I think it's a very interesting field, and it's a field where there's a lot to do, especially in political consulting, or especially basically in the political sector, because renewable energy is something that is really...
It's a key.
Is a key on the one hand, and on the other hand, and that's the interesting thing about it, like digitalization, it is something where the political frame, or the regulatory frame, is very much in flux at the moment. So for everybody who's interested in political consultancy, and into regulatory analysis in particular, I feel like renewable energy policy is really a good go-to place. And I know a lot of colleagues that also started into that field, just because, you know, for the next, 5 to 10, maybe 15 years, there's still so much in flux that you are able to have an impact on it and be able to be part of that process of setting in a regulatory frame that will then be probably more or less steady for the decades to come on how renewable energies are governed. And I feel like that's very, very exciting. At least for me, it was very exciting. It's very exciting to be a part of.
And I wish you all the best for your brand new job. And I will follow your LinkedIn profile and see where you are in 5 years' time.
That was Yannick Haar, political consultant in Berlin. If you'd like to listen to this episode again or more from the JobTales series, go to worldradio.ch/JobTales or search JobTales wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Laura Leoncini, and I'll be back next week for another episode of JobTales with a brand new guest, the same time, next week on WRS.